We will call this meeting to order. Representative Tilbury, have you had a chance to look at the minutes? Do you approve the minutes, move the minutes?
Yes, can we move those minutes?
Representative Tilbury moves the minutes from January 24th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, today we have a couple bills before us, both of which passed this committee last session, and we're in the general register and thus coming back to us today. We're going to ask that we keep testimony as much as we can to the amendments that are before us today. And with that, Representative Hoppe to present your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I'm sure everybody remembers this bill as the highlight of the last year's Commerce session. We passed this out of committee last year, sent it to the General Register, and I think I told everybody in the committee beforehand that that was it. We were just sending it to the General Register for last year because we didn't act on it when it was on the floor and session ended. It now comes back to the possession of the committee. We are going to hopefully pass the bill again and send it back to the General Register. We do have one amendment that we're going to be offering. So we're, as the chair said, I think we're going to try to keep the my remarks and the testimony today to the amendment. And with that, I will, Mr. Chair, if you want to have testimony first or if you want me to offer the amendment, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, if you would, Representative Hoppe, please offer the amendment. Well,
thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure that I properly moved House File 657. If I didn't, I'll do that now, and I would offer the A8 amendment, which I believe is in everybody's packets. I offer the amendment, and Mr. Chair, the amendment is fairly simple and straightforward. I liked the bill last year. I like it more this year. I think this makes it a better bill. It did a few things. It changes on page 1, line 12. It changes the size of the venue in question from 1,000 to 2,500. It on page 2, there's language that adds the State Agricultural Society, the High School League, and the Amateur Sports Commission, and I think the other one was dealing with criminal penalties. And with that, I would stand for questions on the amendment. We can explain it more. Otherwise, as I understand it, there are a number of people that want to come up and testify against the amendment, and I'll leave it to you, Mr. Chair, but if you want to start with that, that's fine with me.
Very good. We will stand for testimony first on the amendment. Looks like first on the list we have a Rich Forschler. Is Rich with us? Welcome to the Commerce Committee. If you would please state your name for the record, and then again, as much as possible, please keep your comments to the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Rich Forschler. I'm an attorney and a lobbyist with Fagry Baker Daniels, and with me is Bill Huppenbecker. We will keep our comments to the amendment. I think, you know, the committee probably remembers from last year's hearing that we had a lot of testimony about the merits of the bill. We are part of a coalition, the Sports and Entertainment Industry Coalition in Minnesota, that includes the professional sports teams, the major venues like Target Center and Xcel Energy Center, promoters, producers of events here in Minnesota, arenas from around Minnesota like the DEC, the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center in Rochester. We are opposed to the bill, and like I said, I think from last year you probably remember most of the presentation about the bill. But just to talk about the amendment, I would say that basically I think this amendment is actually making some improvements to the bill. Part of it is to eliminate a cause of action, a private cause of action that was created in the bill as it sat before you on the General Register last year, which I think is a good change. I think the size of the theater is frankly just a policy judgment for you to make as to how big or how small a facility should be subject to these various controls. We are not in favor of the controls to start with, so from our opinion, we don't really have much thought about how you draw that line. In some regards, sort of feel like if it's good for small theaters, it might be good for big, and vice versa. But again, I think that's a policy decision for you. The one point I'd like to bring to you is about the exemptions that are in the bill. The part of the amendment that that has the language about the State Agriculture Society, the High School League and its members, and the Amateur Sports Commission. To some extent, I think exempting public entities from the restrictions of the bill, you may not realize, but in some cases, these public entities compete with private entities like the arenas for the same types of shows and businesses. And from our perspective, it creates a little bit of an uneven playing field. And with that, I thought maybe Bill could talk a little bit. Bill can speak from the arena management event promotion aspect, and I think those will be our only comments because we do want to honor your request to stick to the amendment.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Bill Hiefenbecker of the Minnesota Wild. We operate the XL Energy Center. And to kind of echo Rich's comments, I mean, we still oppose the bill. The amendment does make improvements to it. But from the coalition of the Minnesota employers and businesses that work in this industry, the exempting of the high school league and the state fair kind of raises issues with us of why this is good public policy for private businesses and institutions, and why it's not good public policy for the state when it is, in fact, sometimes direct competition. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, just in interest of keeping a simple and directed amendment, that would be my testimony, and again, we would continue to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Members, are there any questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, we'll move on. I have a couple other names on the list. Randy Levy?
Mr. Chairman, the two other people on the list are part of our coalition, too, and I think, you know, our comments really are representative of the comments of our coalition. So thank
Great.
You very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. With that, members, any questions then to the amendment? Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify for or against the amendment before us? Seeing none, again, members, any final questions or comments? With that, the A8 amendment is before us. All in favor of the A8, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Representative Hoppe, two-year bill is amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate your support and hearing this amendment. I think it makes it a better bill, and I'd appreciate member support and send it on to the General Register.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman. What's your, you know, frankly, Chairman Hoppe, last year my recollection was that we were sending it to the floor. Your goal was to continue to kind of work with the parties that are interested in it, and ideally work out something that makes everybody, if not happy, maybe equally unhappy, before you bring it up on the floor. Is that your intent this year, or kind of give us a roadmap for what you look forward to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Askins. I'm always willing to work on things, and I think last year we sent it to the floor under the expectation and telling everybody we weren't going to do anything with it last year. Part of that was the way that I brought the bill up, and I think if we send this to the floor, I'm always willing to look at negotiating and trying to make this a better bill. I would prefer to have it be a bill that everybody likes a little rather than dislikes a lot, but you don't always get that, and I don't have any specific plans. I mean, I'm not sending it to the floor to have it heard Wednesday when we come back, or Thursday whenever we're next in session, or anything like that. Other than sending it to the floor, you know, ultimately I'd like to have it pass. If the parties involved can negotiate and come up with something that works for everybody, you know, I think that's not a bad thing.
Representative Atkins?
Just briefly on that, is that the and I appreciate that. You're a perfect person to be authoring it because you understand the issues, I think, on both sides. But the list of proponents versus opponents is a little bit challenging to look at and see all the Minnesota-based folks that still have deep reservations. By the same token, I also understand the the well-intended point of the bill, and I'm hoping that you can pull something off that manages to improve a situation without ending up in something where all of the Minnesota-based venues and activities continue to oppose it at the end.
Representative Hoppe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins. I'm always willing to listen, and hopefully there is something that can make it a better bill. And if you hold this up to the light and look very carefully under proponents, you'll also see fans, the people that buy the tickets, our constituents, the citizens of Minnesota. You might not have heard from a lot of them that they support the bill or the amendment, but these are the picket people that the
it's there, isn't it?
These are the people that it's intended to help, and I think Representative Atkins, you started it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I think it's something that the market and technology is changing, and we're trying to get a little bit in front of that. But we are certainly willing to continue to look at this and work on the negotiating process here.
Mr. Chair, the what I started Atkins. Was a controlled burn. I just want to make sure it doesn't become a forest fire. So. I appreciate your comments, though, and I'm sure that, and we'll look forward to continuing to work on it.
Hey, members, if there are no other questions, all in favor of House File 657 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill is adopted and passed. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Hoppe. Mr. Chair, members.
Next up is Representative Anderson, Senate File 1268. I never had it, but I had.
He loves messes. He's the best at this.
Are we thinking of 10,000?
Good to go.
If we don't have a mess, he can create it.
Because he's strong.
Wait till tomorrow.
Those in the crowd, we're going to move on to the next bill, so if you would please take your conversations outside, we'd appreciate it. Representative Anderson, you have Senate File 1268. And again, members, this did pass this committee last session as well, so as much as we can, let's stick to the issue before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. What this bill does, just to refresh your memory, is it allows loan and thrift folks to recoup their costs for storing large items that are put up as collateral. So the transporting and storing of these different kinds of items. And that's all it does. And I know that you're familiar with the issue, so I'll leave it at that.
Members, any questions? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on this bill for or against? Seeing none. Again, any questions from the members?
Just got amendments.
Okay, Representative Atkins, we'll turn it over to you for your first amendment.
I only have one, Mr. Chairman. I think others on the committee may have some, but I have the A6 amendment, if that's, and I believe that these were delivered ahead of time and hopefully to Representative Anderson as well. If folks, it's fairly straightforward. It doesn't say that you can't do fees at all, but it says that that if a borrower makes the request, then the lender shall immediately produce to the borrower just documentation showing that the fees have been paid by the lender for transporting, storing, securing, insuring, and maintaining the collateral of the loan, and including to whom the fees have been paid, the date, the amount, and the reason. With that, I'd seek your support.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I still need to move the bill, so I'd like to move Senate File 1268.
Thank you, Representative Anderson, for putting Senate File 1268 in front of us. Members, any questions on the Atkins Amendment? Representative Anderson, do you have any comments on the Atkins Amendment?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Atkins, I wasn't aware of these amendments until right before committee started, so haven't had a whole lot of time to digest it. Wish that you'd had a chance to talk to me about this first. That would have helped us, you know, decipher some of this, and hopefully in the future that you'll give me the courtesy of talking about these things so that we can make accommodations. But I'm just wondering, after reading this amendment, if you would be willing to amend your amendment to add in after upon put written request by a borrower. So upon written request by a borrower. I'm wondering if you would consider that to be a friendly amendment.
Sure would.
Representative Atkins?
Oh, I'm sorry, right. Mr. Chairman. Yes, I would.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, if I could make that formal amendment then to, all right, I don't know if it has to be if he considers that friendly
I'll
amendment.
Incorporate it.
Okay, Representative Atkins incorporates the word written in between upon and request. Is that correct?
Yes.
Representative Dowling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Atkins, I have a little concern about the word immediately and what maybe statute says that means. How soon is immediately, and how soon would they have to provide that information to the borrower?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative, it usually means now.
Representative Dowling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wondered if there was a statutory definition of that, or there was a reason you selected the words the word immediately, as opposed to within 7 days or something of that nature. It may be not possible to immediately, given your definition of the word immediately to be now, to provide that information. So I'm wondering if that's even possible.
Members, any other questions on the amendment?
Just that I'd like a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been requested. Representative Dowd.
Maybe I wasn't clear. That was a question to the author of the amendment. How is this possible to immediately provide the information? Have you thought through how that would work?
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dowd, you go to the drawer where the document is held, and you take it out, and you put it on the copy machine, and you make a copy, and then you give it to the person that requested it. Thank you for the question.
Representative Dowd.
I think my point is that you've already, even in your explanation, elapsed the time immediately, now. So I don't think that word is possible. I'm wondering if there might be a better word to use, 24 hours, 1 hour, something of that nature.
I'm comfortable with it.
Representative Anderson, to the amendment as amended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins. I think Representative Dowd does raise an important issue on this, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to work with us to get some language hammered out and, for the time being at least, remove the word immediately, and then we can figure out what would be a good timeline based upon past practices or current practices in other areas of statute.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to work with you, but for the time being, I'd appreciate keeping the word, or I intend to keep the word immediately in there, and would be happy to visit with you more about what the reality of the situation might be as the bill moves forward.
Representative Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Atkins, I think that you'd have better luck if we, for the time being, remove the word immediately, and we can work on a resolution to figure out what the proper timeline would be after that point. And otherwise, I'm not sure that this amendment would pass without that change. And if we can work together and figure out that timeline, I think that would be best. Are you willing to remove the word immediately?
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your thoughts. I believe that it's important to keep it as immediately. I don't think that's an undue or inappropriate thing to ask from somebody that is charging a double-digit interest rate and significant fees. And I think it's a double-digit interest rate. I'm not meaning to put any words in the mouth of the author relative to what the transaction is, but it's a big enough transaction that it's something that ought to be produced immediately upon request, and a written request, no less.
Chair Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the author.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know what the author would like. If the word immediately is not removed, would you like this voted down immediately?
Sure. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Davids. As I said, I'm willing to work with Representative Atkins to find a better phrase than immediately. If someone were to amend this to say within 10 business days, you know, I would certainly support this amendment, but as it's written, I think it is problematic, as pointed out by Representative Doubt.
Thank you.
Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion to amend this amendment. To remove the word immediately and replace it with shall within 7 days produce.
Representative Doubt, this amendment has already been amended, so I don't believe.
Actually, it wasn't. It was a.
Oh, it was an incorporation?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Representative Doubt, would you please repeat that?
My amendment would be to amend the A6 amendment to remove the word immediately from line 1.3 and replace it with the words within 7 days.
Is everyone clear on the amendment? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Doubt, is that 7 business days or?
Representative Doubt.
I just said 7 days.
Send good caucus breaks or anything?
Representative Anderson.
Members, I urge you to support the Doubt Amendment, and if that passes, I urge you to support the entire amendment.
Members, any other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Atkins.
Representative Doubt, initially you said how about 24 hours, how about X amount of time? If we were agreeable to 24 hours, would you be willing to incorporate or change your amendment to reflect that?
Representative Doubt.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might finish the comment, the concern I would have is some of these transactions last less than 7 days, depending on how we, I mean, literally somebody may go in, come back out 3 days later, it's a pawn transaction, essentially. So your time frame may be, in fact, too long to even reflect what the transaction, how long the transaction is lasting.
Representative Doubt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate Representative Atkins' newfound willingness to want to work with me on the amendment. I don't think that makes any difference, the argument that you're making. If they're requesting this information after the fact, I think is irrelevant to whether the item is still, incurring fees, or whether the situation has been resolved and the fees are being questioned after the fact. I think the same protection is valid in either instance. So I don't see why 7 days isn't acceptable. So I would stand by my amendment. Thank you, though.
Okay. If it's passes. Members, any other questions? Okay, to the Doubt oral amendment, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that the 7 days language now in the amendment be changed to 24 hours. And I'd ask for a roll call. So it's been amended.
Roll call has been requested. Mr. Pender, are you clear on the new amendment?
Mr. Chair, I have to admit I wasn't listening, so I.
I promise, Mr. Pender, that was not on purpose.
No.
Representative Atkins, would you please repeat that for the benefit of the committee members?
On line 1.3, where it now says 7 days. To replace that with actually it says, I believe Representative Doubt's amendment was the lender shall produce within 7 days to the borrower. I would change that to shall produce within 24 hours to the borrower.
Okay. Are all the members straight on that language? Members, any questions? Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a question to Representative Atkins as the original author of the amendment, and how he would see this working. Would it be that the borrower would go into the place where he had the equipment or whatever it was that was held for collateral of a loan and ask for the piece of paper? Would the borrower be required to send it overnight mail to receive it within 24 hours? I mean, what would be the, within 24 hours, how would be the plan to transmit that information to the borrower?
Representative Atkins.
The language, I think, and with due respect, I think the language, Mr. Chairman, is fairly clear, that within 24 hours, you would send the information to the borrower. Maybe I'm just, I don't know. I mean, immediately seems like it's kind of an obvious term. Producing it to the borrower, to me, is fairly straightforward. And the with respect to the 24-hour period, that seems to be more than reasonable to just simply provide some documents showing what these fees are.
Representative Loon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins. I think, you know, I still think those questions would arise, and, you know, I guess we don't necessarily have to meet that out, but I just, these are questions that occur all the time with regards to disclosures to consumers and how it needs to transpire. I mean, is an email okay? Does it have to be through letter? I mean, what constitutes disclosure and what format? So I just think these are questions worth asking.
Representative Stensrud.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins. I'm just trying to think through scenarios where this could possibly happen. It would be very difficult if you are open Monday through Saturday, let's say, and at Saturday at 5 p.m. or 10 minutes before closing, you show up with a document with a written request. It would be very unreasonable for somebody who has a multi-store and a corporate office that maybe retains all of those billing records. It would be a hardship, I think, to produce it within 24 hours. So I think I wouldn't support that just because of the burden that would put on a business owner. I mean, and it's failure to produce that in what I would consider an unreasonable period of time of 24 hours, regardless of business hours or closing hours. I think that's an undue burden on a business. So that would be my concern with your amendment.
Representative Atkins.
What?
I'm sorry, that was a question from Representative Stensrud. Do you have a response? Perfect. Representative Anderson, my question I have to you is there any sort of disclosure that is happening regarding documentation of fees or any of that before the borrower or that relationship is entered into?
Mr. Chair, yes. In fact, the borrower, before they enter into this transaction with the lender, they're provided with a list of all the different fees and what they are and what that's all entails. So they are fully informed. There's full transparency before they enter into that contract.
And is this something that they end up having in their possession?
Correct.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, in response to Representative Stensrud's about the ability to do within 24 hours, I mean, current Minnesota state law says that when a company or a business lets go an employee and they request that they have their check provided to them, that companies, no matter whether they're nationwide companies in their corporate office or somewhere else, have to produce their final check to them within 24 hours. So I don't see this any different as the having to produce what they were charged for fees within 24 hours. We already are doing it. It's already state law.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Any other questions to this amendment? And a roll call then has been requested on the Atkins oral amendment.
Hoppe. Sanders.
No.
No.
Atkins.
Aye.
Diane Anderson.
No.
Sarah Anderson.
No.
Anzels.
Yes.
Crawford.
No.
Doubt.
No.
Davids.
No.
Johnson.
Yes.
Kiefer.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Loon.
No.
Mazerell.
No.
Mullery. Murdoch.
No.
Nelson.
Yes.
O'Driscoll. Slocum.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Tilbury.
There being 8 ayes and 12 nays, the oral amendment is not adopted. Back to the amended amendment. Any other questions? Having a roll call having been requested on the amendment, the roll will be taken.
Hoppy.
No.
Sanders.
No.
Atkins.
Aye.
Diane Anderson.
No.
Sarah Anderson.
No.
Anzels.
Yes.
Crawford.
No.
Doubt.
No.
Davids.
No.
Johnson.
Yes.
Kiefer.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Loon.
No.
Mazerell.
No.
Mullery.
Aye.
Murdoch. Nelson.
Yes.
Slocum.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Tilbury.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if I'm allowed to change my vote or not, but.
Yeah, the vote on the prevailing side.
You did vote on the prevailing side.
Okay. So I would like to change my vote to yes.
Representative Anderson changes from a no to a yes. There being 9 yeses and 11 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Is anyone claiming the A4 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I have the A4 amendment.
Representative Nelson.
I'd like to move the A4 amendment. It should be in the packets. Mr. Chair, and basically what this does is if a court determines that these fees that were permitted are unreasonable, that the borrower is entitled to have them returned or returned a portion of the fees that are found to be unreasonable.
Representative Anderson, any comments on the A4 Nelson amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I encourage you to vote no on this amendment. As I described earlier today, when a borrower makes this loan with a lender, they are given full information. There's complete transparency in what the fees are. They sign off and say that, yes, these fees are reasonable. So they are fully informed throughout this process. So I'd encourage members to vote no on this amendment.
Members, any questions to the Nelson amendment?
I had one quick one, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Atkins.
I missed the amendment, Representative Nelson? I just missed the last portion of what you said. If a fee is found to be unreasonable by a court, then the borrower would be able to get the fee back?
The fee back, the portion of the fee that's, Mr. Chair, that the, Mr. Atkins, that the court finds unreasonable, yes.
Okay, I'd ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll has been requested. Representative Mullery.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Anderson, you're asking that the statute say specifically reasonable fees and that be allowed as an exception. So if a court finds that it doesn't fit within the statute, then you're saying that the person is still stuck even though we're making an exception for that. That doesn't seem logically, legally.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mullery. What I'm saying is when they are making this transaction,
they get a list of all the fees that are going to be charged to them. If they do not like those fees for any reason, they can choose not to make that contract and take out that loan. However, if they agree to those fees, they sign off on it, they are fully informed about it, then that's it. So that I don't see, if they've already signed off on it, they have agreed to those terms that are outlined to them and provided to them, there's complete transparency. They go into this contract fully aware of what the fees are going to be charged them and the purposes for those fees.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe a question for Mr. Pender. If a person signs the document and agrees to those fees, they're agreeing that they're reasonable. So, Mr. Pender, if somebody signed a document saying they're reasonable, how could a court say they're not reasonable when the person said they were reasonable when they signed the document?
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, I think there'd have to be some very unusual circumstances for that to be permitted, that maybe the person who signed it didn't lack, you know, lack the mental capacity to sign contracts or something like that. But otherwise, if you've agreed to something, even though it might be unreasonable, if you knowingly agreed to it for one reason or another, I think it would be hard to overturn it.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Davids.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the Nelson Amendment?
Good amendment. Please vote yes.
Roll having been requested, the roll be taken.
Hoppe.
No.
Sanders.
No.
Adkins.
Aye.
Diane Anderson.
No.
Sarah Anderson.
No.
Anzels.
Yes.
Crawford.
No.
Doubt.
No.
Davids.
No.
Johnson.
Yes.
Kiefer.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Loon.
No.
Mazerell.
No.
Mullery.
Aye.
Murdoch.
No.
Nelson.
Yes.
Slocum.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Tilbury.
Yes.
There being 8 yeses and 12 noes, the amendment is not adopted. Next in my pile, I have the A5.
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw that amendment.
A5 amendment is withdrawn. Only amendment I have left is the A7.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that would be
Representative Tilbury.
Yeah, I'd like to move the A7 amendment and also have a roll call.
Roll call is requested. Representative Tilbury, do you care to explain the A7 amendment?
Sure, I'll explain a little bit. It looks pretty self-explanatory. It just says that if banks have to follow certain rules, I'd imagine it would be fair to all that do loan transactions to have to apply to maybe pawnbrokers as well.
Representative Anderson, to the A7 Tilbury amendment. Any comments?
Mr. Chair, the folks that are doing this are loan and thrift lenders, and they are already under the jurisdiction of the Department of Commerce, who regulates them. So I'm just curious as to what laws do you think would this all entail that isn't already regulated by the Department of Commerce on the loan and thrift entities?
Representative Tilbury.
Mr. Chair, if that was the case, you would probably put it under the pawnbroker statute rather than the one you chose. The other piece is, and I think Mr. Pender could help me out with different disclosures or other types of, probably a litany of things that banks have to follow with rules and regulations. I'm just saying that they should have to do the same.
Are you asking Mr. Pender
if he would help out with those kinds of things?
Mr.
Like disclosures.
Pender, do you have any additional information? That'd be good.
Mr. Chair and Representative Tilbury, there'd be a great variety of requirements a bank would have, or a lender would have to comply with here. They'd have to have a bank charter, for one thing, and they'd be regulated by the Department of Commerce for financial solvency, which these other kind of lenders don't have to be, because they don't take people's deposits, so they're not, you know, people aren't people don't have their money at risk with these kind of lenders. So there'd be a great many laws that would have to be complied with in order to be a bank and do this kind of loan.
Mr. Chair, Tilbury.
I'm still okay with this amendment to read that way, because I mean, if this particular pawnbroker is making tons of money off of this, even more than banks would, I think that they should have to comply.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm sure other members have heard the same thing. From individual bankers, they hear about this, and and it's not just been a single one, at least, that have approached me and said that we've got, if they're going to be in this business and going to be a bank, then they ought to have to comply with the same regulations that a bank should. So if you're going to be a bank, comply with the regulations that apply to a bank. I support the amendment, and I expect to vote yes on the roll call.
Representative Anderson, members, if there's any cell phones close to the mics, please remove them from the mics. Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have with me today Mr. Cassidy that would like to address that particular amendment, please.
Mr. Cassidy, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Cassidy here on behalf of Rixman Companies. First off, I'd like to distinguish between who is before you asking for this change, and that is it is a new product and a new company called MyBridge, and it has nothing to do with pawnbrokers or the pawnbroker statutes. Mr. Rixman obviously holds a pawnbroker license, but this isn't asking for any new authority under the pawnbroker statutes. It's asking for authority under the industrial loan and thrift statutes, of which Rixman Enterprises has a license, and they're licensed and regulated as industrial loan and thrift by the Minnesota Department of Commerce. As Mr. Penner pointed out, industrial loan and thrifts do not take deposits, so the only money at risk is the company's money and whoever the investors are in the industrial loan and thrift, and not the customers of a quote-unquote bank. Applying bank regulations to an industrial loan and thrift just simply doesn't mesh.
Thank you, Mr. Cassidy. Members, any questions? Seeing none, we will move to the roll call vote on the A7 amendment.
Hoppe?
No.
Sanders?
No.
Atkins?
Aye.
Diane Anderson?
No.
Sarah Anderson?
No.
Anzels?
Yes.
Crawford?
No.
Doubt?
No.
Davids?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Kiefer?
No.
Lilly?
Yes.
Loon?
No.
Mazerall? Mullery?
Aye.
Murdoch?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Slocum?
Yes.
Stensrud?
No.
Tilbury?
Yes.
There being 8 ayes and 12 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I would like to move to reconsider the A6 amendment. Upon further reflection, I think that it's a fine amendment and that we should all vote yes. I was momentarily distracted and voted no, so I think we should take the amendment in the spirit that it was offered, and I did vote on the prevailing side. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to get a roll call on that, please.
Representative Hoppe moves that the A6 amended amendment be reconsidered, and that a roll call is requested. Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, I think under your own rules, it's got to be immediately taken up as the next action that the committee takes. We have rules.
He knows that.
Immediately.
Yeah,
now. That's what I'm talking about now.
7 days.
I didn't make your rules. I mean, I'm just trying to.
That's why I don't have a rule.
Representative Hoppe.
Representative Sanders, Mr. Chair, and Representative Atkins, we don't generally have any rules in the Commerce Committee. And we can ask, former chairs, Representative Davids and Representative Atkins. But generally speaking, we don't have rules, and I mean, we can all decide as a committee, but I don't think it's a big deal on this particular amendment. It was within just a few minutes after it happened, and I don't think it's unreasonable to go forward with reconsidering the A6 amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, I withdraw my objection to the, and I appreciate the comments of Chairman Hoppe.
The A6 is up for reconsideration. Representative Anderson to the A6.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would this be the A6 as amended?
Yes, then? Representative Anderson, is the A6 as amended. With that, a roll has been requested, and the roll will be taken.
Hoppe?
Aye.
Sanders?
Yes.
Adkins?
Aye.
Diane Anderson? Sarah Anderson?
Yes.
Anzels?
Yes.
Crawford?
Aye.
Dowd?
Yes.
Davids?
Aye.
Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, by partisan.
Kiefer?
Yeah.
Lilly?
Yes.
Loon?
Yes.
Mazerell?
Yep.
Mullery?
Yes.
Murdoch?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Slocum?
Yes.
Stensrud?
Yes.
Tilbury?
Yes.
There being 20 ayes and 0 nays, the amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Atkins.
I'd move that we reconsider the Nelson amendment. I wasn't on the prevailing side, but I was just told we don't have any rules, so I'd like to try that. No, I'm just kidding.
That there is a rule for. Representative Anderson, Senate File 1268, as amended, is in front of us. Any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the patience of the committee today as we wade through these issues on very short notice. I appreciate that and just encourage your yes vote on the bill.
Thank you, members. Any final questions? Seeing none, Representative Anderson has put Senate File 1268 in front of us. Where is this going again?
To the
General Register. Yeah. Senate File 1268, as amended, as being recommended to pass to the General Register. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill, as amended, is passed and sent to the General Register. Any other items of business? With that, all GOP members, if you would, please go immediately to 400 North for a quick meeting. Otherwise, that should conclude all of our business today. Meeting is adjourned.